Once again, I want to say good morning to everybody. Morning to everybody here. Morning to everybody online. If you live in the Wichita or surrounding area and you don't, and you're looking for a home church, I'd like to invite you to come visit us. We have room in here to maintain the 6-foot distance, so we want to invite you. We meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and there's just something kind of special about when we come together, when the Bible talks about, you know, gathering of the saints together, just being able to actually see smiling faces, being able to actually hear singing voices. It's just it just fills your soul. It just fills you up with the Spirit. And so we do this and many other in Wichita, but we do this church thing Sunday after Sunday, 52 weeks out of the year, and I got to tell you that it never gets boring. God always shows up. It's always exciting, and I think that the reason we do this is here at this church is because one thing, you people are my people. Yeah, you know, it's like we're kind of on the same level here. We're kind of cut from the same cloth. We are. Many of us born and bred Midwesterners, some migrated Midwesterners, but we're in the Midwest and the pace is a little bit slower here. The talk is a little bit slower here. But one thing at Calvary Chapel West Wichita, we treat everybody like family because we are family. You know, it doesn't matter if you're sitting in the seats right here this morning. It doesn't matter if you're at home on the couch relaxing. It doesn't matter if you feel like I'm not sure I'm ready to get into this group yet. You know, you just want to keep your family safe. It doesn't matter. In fact, it doesn't really matter where you're at in this whole big wide world. The important thing is you're tuned in here today. You're listening today. Your family today. And so we just want to welcome everybody this morning. So make yourself at home. Expect to hear some good news today. Expect to hear from God. Every Sunday right here, you know, and I got to tell you, and I hope that you believe this, that, you know, there is power in the Word of God. There was power in there. It's not reliant upon me. It's just that there's power in the Word of God. And so I want to ask you, and I hope you believe that. But I want to ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that when you come in here, there's a spirit of the Holy Spirit that comes in here? There's a breeze that comes through here. And so we should be thinking this as we sit down here, as we're in our living room, as we're at Hope, we're listening to this message today. We should be thinking this, God is getting ready to speak to us. I mean, not like humans and everybody, and not like everybody in Wichita, and not like all the churches at the same time, and really, not even like Calvary Chapel West Wichita. God is getting ready to speak to you. You should expect that in a church. That should happen in a church. And you don't have to decipher it. It's not something like, you know, well, I don't know what happened. I don't know that he understood it. You know, I'm probably going to have to unravel this thing and see if I can make sense of it, or I need to decode it or everything. The only thing that you have to do is listen. Because God wants to speak to you. And if you'd have asked me that, if you'd asked me more than 25 years ago if I believed that, I would have had to say no. Because I didn't give my life to Christ until I was 40 years old. Next month, I'll be 66. And I'm in awe of what the Lord has done in my life. And many of my friends are too. We're in awe of what the Lord has done in our life. And I just keep waking up every morning. And I get out of bed and there he is. He's there waiting for me. And it's like, okay, God, what's on the calendar today? What's up today? What are we going to do today? And you know, and in that time, I don't want you to think that it's just like, you know, puppy dogs and unicorns and all of that, and everything is fine. You know, there's been some setbacks, mostly on me, you know, not by God. But in the 25 years of trusting the Lord and 25 years of leaning on His understanding and trusting in His word and trusting in His promises and discovering that, you know, no matter what comes in life, no matter what burdens you carry around in your life all the time, in all of that time, God has never, ever failed me once. I guess you could say that He's got a perfect record. I'll tell you what, though, He's confused me a few times. It's like, Lord, are you sure about this? Are you, you know, He's confounded me a few times. He's troubled me sometimes. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. Oh, no, I don't want to go there. But He's never failed me, ever. And you know why? Because He's always in control. Wish I could say that about myself, but He's always in control. God is always in control. And that's my prayer today, that as we go through this message, as we listen to this message, that you grasp that truth right there in your life. God's always in control. And if I was honest with you, you know, sometimes in my life, and I look back a little bit and I look at some things that we've been going through and all of that, and there's times that I look at and I think, if somebody was to look at my life, they would say, well, it doesn't look like God's in control to me. And I'll be honest with you, there's been times in my life when I thought, I don't think God's in control. I've stepped out of bounds. I've done something wrong. But in all those times, God was in control. And through the experiences of my life and through growing in my life, I understand that. And I assure you, in your life, whatever's going on, whatever's happening, however you feel today, whatever reason you tuned in today, God is in control of your life. And He'll always be with you. He's in control of your life and He'll always be with you. You're never going to be alone. And I know there's been some dark times and some difficult times, but He will never leave you alone. In fact, God's for you. You know, He's on your side. He's got your back. So often we think we have to earn His trust, and we have to earn His love, and we have to earn all these things. God, that's the other way around. He's for us. Even when we didn't like Him, even when we rejected Him, even when we were His enemies, He said, no, no, no. He said, He's for us. And so growing up, I grew up in Kansas. This has been my home all this time. Grew up in Wichita, mostly South Wichita. We didn't have religion in our family. We didn't hate God. We just didn't love God. We didn't know much about God. And the best I could understand about God at that time is just what I've learned. And it was, you know, to explain that, my biggest understanding or misunderstanding is the way I understood with religion was good people went to heaven and bad people went to hell. Logical, and it made sense, but that's the way that I understood it in my life. You know, good people went to heaven and bad people went to hell. And then I can remember in the 60s revival, and somebody had come up to me one time. I still remember that guy's name too, but he'd come up to me and he said that Jesus had said, come as you are. He said, just come as you are. Because we was a wild bunch then. We were a bunch of long-haired, freaky people. No need to apply. There's some old people in here. And so that's how Jesus invites us. That's how He talks to us. That's how He speaks to us. He says, come as you are. Come on. Come as you are. Not as you wish you were. That's how I was. I wish, if I'd have been this way, I'd have been real religious or something. But He says, come as you are. And He says, do that right now. Come as you are right now. Bring all your questions. He's okay with that. Come, you got questions? Ask me about it. You mad about something? Yeah, come on. Let's talk about that. You've got some frustration in your life? He says, bring it on. Bring, you know, come as you are. You've got some addictions in your life? He said, that's okay. Come as you are. That's what I want. You know, I'm here to help you in this, you know. You got some brokenness in your life? He says, bring your brokenness with you. I'm okay with that. Jesus says, come as you are. Just how you are. There's a quote from C.S. Lewis that says, God doesn't want us God doesn't want something from us. He simply wants us. That's so simple. It's deep, but it's so simple. God doesn't want something from us. He simply wants us. But I had a problem with that, though. And I think there was a lot of people back then, there was a lot of people today that still have that issue. Is the problem is, I didn't like who I was. God said I could come as I was, but I didn't care for who I was. I didn't think I was worthy enough. I was a good dad. I used to come and drop my kids off at church and send them in the building. I couldn't go in there because I needed to get my life straightened up. I kind of, you know, my life was pretty muffled. It wasn't clean. I wasn't worthy to go in there. You know, my life was just a big mess, you know, and on the scale of justice, it was just like, you know, it was way out of balance. I couldn't go in there until I could get pure enough and holy enough for the rest of the people. I wasn't worthy of heaven. That's what I thought. I wasn't worthy of heaven. I thought I wasn't good enough. I can even remember times feeling like I was a failure. You know, as a teenager, I was just, you know, probably like many people, you know, I was out of control. I was defiant towards my parents. I was defiant towards authorities. I thought I would grow out of it, but I don't think I ever did. My adult years, you know, I was just having fun at all costs. Marriage was falling apart. The future seemed destined to failure. It was just a big mess, you know. It was live fast, die young. That's how we thought. We didn't want to die, but we were sure living fast. That was life. That was the cards I was dealt. So I thought that's just the way it is. I was out of control. In fact, back then, when I grew up, everything was out of control. Vietnam War was just an endless war that we couldn't get over. People were dying. Colleges were having protests and everything. The National Guard was being called out to them. These hippies were out there. They were fighting for peace. And it was just like the world was a mess. Not unlike it is today. It's a mess. So what I didn't understand back then, and this, you know, incredible, important truth of the whole universe right now today that we need to grasp, we need to hold on to, and all of that, and all the mess, and all the confusion, and all the anger, and all the hurt, and all the pain, God is still in control. He was then, and He is today. God is in control. It doesn't matter what your finances are like. You think, I don't know, I'm never going to get out of this. It doesn't matter about that. Doesn't matter about your marital situation, you know. It's just like, I messed it up. It's too late. It doesn't matter about any of that. Doesn't matter about your mental stress or your anxiety level or anything that, you know, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. It doesn't matter, you know, how much you worry or how much you, you know, plan or how any of those things. God is still in control. He's not up there juggling things. He's not up there trying to figure out things. He's still in control. I'll tell you what's going on. Maybe in your life, maybe not now, maybe before, maybe later, but I'll tell you what's going on. You're in a setback. As a nation, we're in a setback. It's just a setback. And the good news is about that right now, because we're in a setback, because your life could be in a setback, right now what's going on, you're in a great position for a comeback, for like the underdog at the end of the movie when they come back and they save the world. We're in a great position for that. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter how you got there. I messed up. I did the wrong thing. It's not my fault. It's my company, you know, went down or whatever. It doesn't matter anything about that. It's when you're ready, get ready for a setback. Because God's ready. He's wanting to do something. He's ready. And it's not, you know, it's not even if you messed up or anything. You're not a failure. It's not like that it's you messed up too much and it's too late. I can't fix things. It's not too late because God is in control. And so let's read this slide together. You don't have to read it outside, but let's just read this slide together. The Holy Spirit gave me this yesterday. It says, it's not about my failures. It's about His faithfulness. It's not about my failures. It's about His faithfulness. Put that in your notes today. I'm not sure who needs to see this, but somebody needs to post that on Facebook too. Because you haven't failed. You haven't failed in your life at all. You just haven't seen the future yet. God's working on that. You just haven't seen the future. So when you go around and you say, well, it's different in my life, I can't, and it's different in my life because I didn't, or it's different in my life because I shouldn't, you're probably right. Because guess what? All those statements start with I. I have this problem. I have this issue. I can't fix this. I can't move forward. I need this. I got great news for you. God wants to take you from that setback and send you to a comeback. He wants to use whatever trials, whatever pains going on in your life, he wants to use them. Whatever roadblocks you have, whatever obstacles that you can't get around, he wants to help you get around them. He wants to help you with the comeback. So what I want to share with you today are three biblical truths. Listen to this. That's going to change your life forever. Three truths that's going to change your life forever. You probably need to write these down. You probably need to put them in the front of your Bible. You probably need to hang them on the refrigerator. You probably need to tape them to your dashboard of your car, you know. But these three truths of getting out of the setback, God is in control no matter how things appear in your life. That's one. God is in control no matter how things appear in your life. Have you ever felt like that, like God was out of control because your life was out of control? So once again, God is speaking to us through these verses, and we need to underline this. And this verse, Psalm 23, has been coming up a lot lately. I don't know why. I expect to read this when I'm at a graveside funeral or something like that, but this is so you can apply this to your life. Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And underline this, he makes me to lie down. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Verse 3, underline this, he restores my soul. And underline this, he leads me to paths of righteousness. It says, for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's in control no matter how things appear. How messed up your life is, how difficult it is, God's in control. David understood these truths when he wrote that. He probably understood them better than anybody. I mean, you would think the king wouldn't be having any setbacks. I mean, he had everything going for him. He had this army at his beck and call. He could just call and you know, they would do whatever. He had servants that would bring him food day and night, you know, as much as he wanted. He was living in this castle that was protected from his enemies because he had this army around him protecting him. But here's what David understood. He understood about his God in the midst of all the storms and everything. It's verse 2, and it says, God makes me lie down. And it's not in the sense that he makes you, he forces you to, but he gives you that ability to. So next to where you underline that, God makes you lie down, write this if you would please. God gives you rest. God gives you rest. You know, you've got something big on your shoulder, something that you've been carrying around, a decision that you have to make, some burden that you've been carrying, for some of us for months, for some of us for maybe years. Give it to God. Listen, he's in control anyway. Why not just give it to him? I mean, he tells the planets and the moon where to stand. Surely he can take care of your problem. Surely he can handle your setbacks. Let him have your problems. Say, here it is, Lord. I'm going to get off of this for a while. I'll let you work with this. Here it is. I remember the day that he set me free from alcohol. Years and years of praying that he would set me free, and he never did. He would never release me from that addiction. And so one day I stood at my house. This is when people say literally, this literally happened. But one day I stood at my house and I shook my fist in anger at him. I said, fine, Lord. It was a hangover. I was mad because I'd been drinking again. But I said, fine, Lord. And I said, it's not my problem anymore. I said, it's your problem now. And I was saying these words. And I said, you know, it's not my burden anymore. I'm not going to mess with it anymore. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm just done with it. It's not my failure in my life. From now on, if I drink, it's going to be your problem. And he said, I've been waiting for that. So just let it go. Give it to him. Guess what? He's in control anyway. He gives you rest. You can do that. You can say, whatever issue is going on in your life, you can do that. You can say, okay, Lord, this issue is too big for me, Lord. I just need you to take it. And he will. Number two, he gives you direction. That's verse 3. He leads you in paths of righteousness. He gives you direction in your life. This is a truth. It'll never change. It's always the same. He gives you direction. You might be walking around saying, I'm lost. You just ask the Lord. He'll give you directions. And when it says he leads you into righteousness doesn't mean good and bad. That's not what it's talking about, righteousness and pure and holy and all that. You know, that's how we think of it sometimes. But it doesn't mean that. Righteousness just means living right, doing the right thing. That's all it means, you know. It's just doing the right. It's adhering to God's truth. Doesn't mean you're better than anybody else or worse than anybody else or anything. You're just adhering. You're living the right life. You're adhering to God's truth. And most of us, if you'd ask, and I mean most of us here, but I mean if you ask most humans in the whole world, most people aren't opposed to righteousness, of doing the right thing. In fact, a majority of humans are like that. They would claim righteousness. But all paths don't lead to righteousness. Not all paths leads to righteousness. See, plenty of people will stand up and they will say they're righteous and they're holy and they're spiritual and they're pure and all of that. And they want to be your guide. You need to follow me. I'm righteous. Therefore, if you follow my directions, you will be righteous also. But they're deceived. Or maybe they're just prideful that they could be deceived, but they're just going to be leading you down the wrong path. Matthew 7:13, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 7:13 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. So he said, come in the narrow gate. And what he's saying, he says, come into the gate. There's not that many people that it's a little more difficult. You know, if you're following the whole world and we're all going this way and everybody in the world's doing this, that might be something for concern. It might be something that you need to look at. Because God gives us direction in his word of how we should be and how we should live and the direction we should go. And he speaks to us in this small, quiet voice. And we know that voice. We just don't listen to it most of the time. That voice might sound like, I wonder if I should go there. It might be God speaking to you. I wonder if I should do this. It might be God speaking to you. I wonder if I should post this. It is God speaking to you. If you have to ask that question, you probably shouldn't. So God gives us a direction through his word. He speaks to us in this small voice, and he prepares the way for us. That's how we can tell we're moving in the right path. He prepares the way for us. God's in control. Doesn't matter how things appear. Doesn't matter how challenging it is. It doesn't matter how confusing it is. He's still in control. So remember on the way that we're going, as we're walking in God's life, you know, he gives us rest as we go through there. He gives us direction. And number three is he gives you strength. He gives you strength in your life. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul. That's what it's talking. He gives you strength, you know. And it's not like, you know, I'm not talking about like muscle strength or arm strength or anything like that. But he gives you mental strength. Because a lot of times that's the first thing that breaks down. That's a lot of times where we lose our strength at. And so he says, he restores my soul. He gives you that spiritual strength. Have you ever had one of them, been on like one of them charity runs or fun runs or whatever it is, or you know, or maybe like a really hard task physically that you're out in the yard and you're working, or you're in the garden that you're working, and finally you're just exhausted and you just can't move forward anymore, and then you just stop and you say, I gotta rest. I can't go any farther. I gotta rest. And sometimes that happens to our brain. We've got all this stuff going on and just all of these decisions we've been making and just a hard time. And we just can't, you know, we're having a hard time grasping everything. And maybe a loved one has passed or something, or maybe a spouse has left or something. Or maybe, your employment or your employer is shut down. And finally, your brain just shuts down and says, I needed some rest. I don't want to deal with this. I'm exhausted. I just can't breathe. That's how your brain does. You say, I'm done with it. I can't deal. It's too much. I'm losing it. But when you let God take the wheel, you know, when you let Him take over, you allow Him controlling your life, He gives you strength. You know, it can be challenging, it can be hard, but He gives you strength in that. And I mean deep down, you know, in the depths of your soul kind of strength. Like, I can't go anymore, I can't think anymore, I can't make these decisions anymore, but He gives you the strength to do that. God's in control and He knows what you can handle. You can handle this. He didn't say, I'm going to get you through it easy. He said, you can handle this. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard, but you can handle this. So the first truth that we need to grasp in this message today is God's in control. It doesn't matter what things look like out there. It doesn't matter how bad things seem to be in your life. God's in control. And number two, God is with you even when you can't see His plan. God is with you even when you can't see His plan. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, 1 Kings verse 19, or chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. It says Ahab, verse 1, it says Ahab told Jezebel. You'll start to recognize this story, that all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. It says, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I don't make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Short message, text message, I'm going to kill you tomorrow. Maybe sooner than that, but tomorrow. So I'll give you a little quick backstory on what's happening right here. You know, if you think about King David and everything, King David reintroduced worship, reintroduced praise to the whole nation. He brought everybody back towards God, the God of Israel, but that everybody knew. Well, now, a few kings later, now we've got Ahab and Jezebel. They're the king and queen of Israel in this. Now everybody's worshiping Baal. They decided that, you know, we don't want to worship your God anymore. We want to bring our gods in and our unique gods. And so they didn't want anything to do with God in heaven. So they were worshiping these false gods. And all these prophets, they got all these prophets that were, you know, prophets of false God. And they brought all of those prophets in, just hundreds and hundreds of them. And you remember when we were going through Kings, it was like every chapter we started, it says, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's what was happening right then. They were doing, the leaders of the country were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And the whole country followed. Yeah, we want to be like that. So God brought on this drought, the breaker of bad news. They were revealed to him by Elijah, and he went and told them what was going on. He said, you know, it's because the way you're living, that's why God brought this on. He was the bearer of bad news. And so now he's got this bounty on his head because he had told him that. He just told him the truth, and he's hiding away. He's running away from him. And so the Lord called him back out. He said, come on out of here. And he said, go challenge the prophets of Baal. I want you to go up there and do this. So he's in the middle of God's plan. Doesn't sound like a good plan. It doesn't sound like an easy plan, but he called him out and gave him a part of his plan. He says, go challenge him, go challenge them and see whether, you know, God shows up or doesn't show up. And so the God of Baal didn't show up. So in Elijah, what he did, he'd called on God. So they had this big worship pit. They had this big pile of lumber that they'd brought in and everything. And so Elijah had called on God, and God called down, and he rained fire down, burned up all the wood and everything. And it says that then when he had done that, Elijah, he had slayed 800 or some of their prophets of Baal. So Elijah, he's right in the middle of God's will. He's doing the work of the prophet. He's doing what God's called him to do. And God's rewarded him with it, it seems like. He's provided, you know, the God of Israelites, you know, so that everybody would see him and everybody would see what God was doing and everybody would worship God again. And then in the midst of all this, and he does everything that God tells him to do, and it happened just like he expected it to happen to. And then he gets a message. And it says, you're going to die. Because, see, the king and queen, when they said you were going to die, there was nowhere to go. You couldn't hide from him. So they said, you're going to die. So at this point, I mean, everything seems to be making sense to Elijah. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. God did what he did. And now he understands how God works. You're obedient to God. Everything's going to work out fine. It's going to be really good. So Elijah's probably thinking, you know, I've got the God card. I know what's going on here. I've got the God card. He knows how it works and everything. This is what you do. You do this. God will do this. It's as simple as that. He's right in the middle of it. And then all of a sudden something happens. He gets slapped up the side of the head. And everything's going different than he expected. I've been that way in my life before when I think, well, I do this and I'll do that and God will do this. So I do this and I do that, but God doesn't do that. And all of a sudden you're thinking, hey, what happened? So maybe right now in your life, or maybe somebody at home in your life, you're walking through this difficult situation right now. Could have been, you know, a difficult childhood. Or your world just seems to be spinning out of control. Or it's the viruses, or the murder hornets, or the racial attacks, or whatever it might be. And so you're thinking right now, how could God be in control? And life feels like it's, the world, I mean, actually feels like it's out of control. So right in the morning, right now, this morning, even as we speak, right now you're talking about it, and you're saying, Lord, I want to believe that you're in control. But look at my life. Look at the world. Look at what's going on. So Elijah felt that way. And in verse 4, he says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. So Elijah's right in the middle of God's will. Elijah's doing everything that he thinks that God wants him to do. And now he's going to die. Now they're going to kill him. And he's just like, I'm done. For Elijah, it made no sense. Well, I'm doing what you're telling me to do. So he goes out there and he said, take me now. I'm done. My life is over. He did what the Lord had asked him and everything. And what did he get out of it? The king, they want to kill him. And so sometimes we think about that. Have you ever been like that in your Christian life? Have you ever felt that way? That in the beginning you become a Christian and life is really good and you kind of understand how everything works, you know, and you do certain things and then God does certain things. And then all of a sudden you hit this moment in there when your marriage goes south. Or you have a health setback or a financial crisis, some travesty of injustice in your life. And you cry out to the Lord, just like I did, just like Elijah did, and it just seems like God doesn't show up. Like, what's going on? And nothing changes. Nothing happens. Maybe you've been praying for one of your children or something that they would change. Nothing happens. Maybe you've been praying for your marriage to get better. It just seems to get worse. It's kind of like you start thinking, you know, God's just ignoring you. Like maybe you've done something wrong. So it's key for us to understand that God is with you even when you can't see his plan. Even when you don't see what God's doing. He's there. He's with you. He's not busy over somewhere else. He's still with you. And you're still in the middle of his plan. So did you know that God, he creates beautiful things from broken pieces? You know, I kind of thought, you know, when he'd found us, you know, he thought, these people are pretty cool. I'm going to gather them up and I like them. But what he does, he creates things out of broken pieces. So he can take a broken life, whatever's going on in your life, and he can pick all them pieces up and he can put all them pieces back together and create something wonderful and beautiful. I mean, think about this. From nothing, he created the earth. From the earth, he created man. From his rib, He created woman. Just imagine what he could do with your life. With all the pieces that you have in your life, just imagine what he could do with that. And the third truth is this. God is still working even when you think the work is over. God is still working even when you think the work is over. There's a book, it's written by Sheila Walsh. It's called It's Okay Not to Be Okay. Remember that book years ago, I'm okay and you're okay, everybody's okay, no matter what. Well, that book didn't fit into her lifestyle, and she said, it's okay not to be okay. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read a little bit to you, and then we're going to close right after this, but I want to read a little bit of this book to you. And on the intro of the book, here's what she wrote. She said, I wish I could take my 21-year-old face in my hands and tell her it's okay not to be okay. She writes and she says, I'll tell her that this will not be the life that she imagined. I'd tell her that she will disappoint people and they will disappoint her, but she'll learn from it. I'd let her know that she'll fall down over and over again, but rather than understanding the love of God less, she'll get it more. I'd let her know that her heart is going to be broken, but she'll survive. And it will change how she sees people, not as causes to be saved, but as people to be loved. I'd let her know that sometimes the night will get very dark, but she will never be alone. And when she's absolutely convinced she is, I'd let her know that she is loved. She writes, she said, I'd read an old Chinese proverb that said, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. Life rarely offers quick fixes, and it's a process, and God is in it and with us all the way. He doesn't look for perfection in us. He sees that in Christ. You don't need to be okay because Jesus has made you all right. He's paid your bill in full. He's covered your not okayness. Okay doesn't live here anymore. But Jesus does. So God had called Elijah to come out of the cave and into his presence. He was hiding. He was afraid. He thought he was out of God's will. And God had called him out into the presence, into the light. God had called me out of the world that I was living in, from darkness into the light. So maybe today it's your time to have God call you out, to let God out of the box that you have him in, to let him into your life. Maybe it's time for you today to stand in his presence and be loved just as you are. Maybe it's time to come just as you are. Let's pray. Lord, we do come before you right now, and that is our heart, Lord, that you would accept us as we are. We want to thank you, Lord, that we love it, that you love us just as we are, not as we wish we were. We thank that you've called us from any prison, that any darkness that we have, that you've called us into the light and into your love. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would take these words that we've heard today, these three truths that we've heard today, and apply them to our life, Lord. And trust in you, and in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.